It is so good to see you all today. I'm glad that you're all here. And today, I want to begin a new series. I will be in this series for the next 4 weeks, and it is simply titled, Jesus, Friend, Teacher, Savior, Lord. So I bet you can tell what each of the 4 weeks are going to be about. There's no mystery here. Now, let's see, where did this series start? A couple months ago, I read a book called Freeing Jesus by Diana Butler Bass. And I was just reading through this, and it's basically like a memoir. It's her experience of all the different characteristics of Jesus that she has uncovered throughout her life. And I was reading it, and I was fascinated by this and how she just broke it down into all these different facets, these different parts of who Jesus was and how Jesus met her in the different periods of her life. And I said, ooh, this is great. I love this idea. So I'll be taking some ideas from her book, blending it with my ideas, you know, throwing it in a blender, and we have this series called Jesus for the next 4 weeks. And we will start with Jesus as friend. And again, a quick little intro. Why are we doing this series? Because I think it's always really important. Whenever I begin a new series, whenever I start putting a series together, the question I always ask is, okay, well, why are we doing this series? What's the point of this series? And there's two reasons why I think this series is really important for us. The first is so that we can see all facets of Jesus. Imagine Jesus like a prism, where you hold a prism and you kind of get a different view whenever you twist it around. You see things a little bit differently. To me, this is how I've experienced Jesus. And sometimes we get really focused on Jesus as one particular part of the prism, one facet. Obviously, we've just gone through Holy Week. We've just gone through resurrection, Good Friday to resurrection. So maybe Jesus as Savior is something that we have really been thinking a lot about over the past couple of weeks. But sometimes we become so focused on one aspect of Jesus that we miss the fuller picture of who Jesus is. And so the second reason, which kind of it bleeds right out of that first reason, is what I found really interesting. Whenever I read through the Gospels and the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus, he was a bit different for every single disciple that he met. And I think that is, it's so profound. And I think, again, this is how I've experienced Jesus in my life, because we're all going through different experiences. There's different events that are happening in our lives right now. If you were to ask, we just spent a moment praying for each other. Well, I guarantee you the things that we were praying for, they might not have been exactly what you're praying for. Because the person who's sitting next to you, even though we're all inhabiting the same space, our experience in life is completely different. And the truth is, the experience that you're going through right now is different than what you were going through a year from now and what you will be going through a year in the future. So what you need from Jesus, who you need Jesus to be, it changes. Sometimes you need one characteristic, one aspect of Jesus more than you need another, and then other times you need another part. And so I want to look at four aspects of who we see Jesus to be as we read through the Gospels. Now today, we'll start, again, no mystery here, so we're going to start Jesus as friend. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of John chapter 15. And before we get started, I want to poll the audience. And I have a question for us this morning. And the question, the answers that we collectively come up with, I want this to be in the back of your minds throughout this entire sermon today. So let's ask this question for us. And remember, this is the backdrop for the sermon. So keep all these answers in mind as we go through John chapter 15. The question is, what qualities do you look for in a friend? And if you're here this morning and you're like, I'm not sure, well, plenty of us will answer it for you. But I want you to think about whoever you consider to be a friend, why have you chosen them? Because friendship is active. It's not a passive thing. In order to be a friend, you have to actively choose to be in that type of relationship with someone. So when you think about the friends that you have, what qualities do you look for in a friend? You can just shout them out. Honesty. Oh, we got two for honesty. Look at that. Channeling the same energy. What else? What else do we look for in a friend? Empathy. Trust. Trustworthy. Trust. Empathy. Honesty. A listener. Yep. Someone who's not constantly just staring down at their phone. You ever have that? You're like meeting, yeah, present. You're meeting with a friend. You're like, dude, get off your phone. So present, yeah, I look for that. Totally, 100%. A safe place, yeah. Mm-hmm. Where you can share what you're going through. And you know it's not going to go beyond the person that you're talking with. Crucial, crucial. Other thoughts? Dependable. Yep, totally. Hey, meet me there at 2 o'clock. They're there at 2 o'clock. Yeah, what else? Judgment-free. Yeah, it goes right along with safe place. Mm-hmm. You can just, you got to find someone that you can just air it all out with. Joe, you're going to say something? Honest. Yeah, they're honest. They're honest with you. They can tell you some of the difficult truths that sometimes it's hard for you to tell yourself that, but you have a friend and they tell you and you're like, ouch, and you walk away and you're like, ooh. An hour or two later, you're like, yeah, they're right. Anything else? Loving. Loving. Yes. Yes. Someone who shares in your joy. If they can't be happy for you and with you, they simply can't be your friend. Forgiving. Yep, yep. Yeah, the longer you go in a friendship, chances are there's going to be some things to forgive. They see you. Well, no, I think it goes right along with what we said, being present, listening. They actually see. That's one of the greatest quotes in Avatar. The greeting in Avatar, what's the greeting? I see you. I mean, that's a sermon in itself. We could do a whole sermon on that. Movie quotes, summer 2022. All right, what? Anything else here? We'll keep. All right, so let's look at Jesus as friend, and let's hear what Jesus has to say about friendship. Because, oh, do we have one more thing? Oh, no, you're just waving to Zeke. Okay. That's like, oh, you ever got your, okay, I can't, actually, we know. Never mind. I'm going to, okay. No tangents today. I promise you this. Respect. Totally. Yeah, the person has to respect you. Has to go mutual respect. Oh, I actually put a couple of answers too, and I think we pretty much covered all of them, just in case we needed to, you know, a little, didn't have our coffee or caffeine this morning. But I love this one here. Someone you want to journey through life with. You have to actually like the person. Right? I mean, that's a pretty crucial aspect of friendship. Now, Jesus, John chapter 15, he has a lot to say about friendship. And one of the interesting things is I think Jesus modeled everything that he's saying. So John chapter 15, we come to the end of the journey of Jesus. He, as Joe actually spoke on this passage last week, he's having a meal, which is a sign of friendship, typically. It's an intimate interaction with others. So he's gathered his closest friends together to share the Passover meal right before Jesus is arrested and then crucified. And in John, he turns everything into a sermon. The guy just, I mean, very academic, very theological. So John turns friendship into a sermon. No illustrations here. But here's what Jesus says. And this is John chapter 15, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. He's talking about his friends here. Now, remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Now, there's lots going on here. First thing I want to mention, there's a movement in these verses. And the movement that Jesus describes is from servant to friend. I no longer call you servant. I now call you friend. Think about Jesus. Jesus, one with God. And he says, you're not simply, I don't look at you as servants, people that I can boss around. I mean, when you think about a servant, it's someone, do this, go here. You're being told exactly what to do, when to do it, which when you think about the relationship with Jesus, sometimes that's how we view it, is it not? Well, Jesus tells us what to do, and then we no questions asked, we just go and do it. And Jesus is saying, well, no, that's not exactly what I want from my closest friends, my disciples here. I don't expect you just to go and do it. I don't look at you as a servant, someone below me, but rather the movement is from servant to friendship. It's from commands, do this, go here, to a shared journey together. When Jesus is talking about friendship and who his closest friends, his disciples are, he sees them on a journey with him. And notice, there's another movement here, and the movement is from unaware to aware. Because a servant, he says, is not aware of what the master is doing or why the master is doing certain things. The servant's only job is to obey and then follow through on what the servant is told to do. But Jesus says, no, you're no longer unaware of why things are. I'm bringing you into the circle of friendship. I'm bringing you into, we could say, the circle of trust. This is all about a shared journey. Jesus doesn't want people that he can just boss around, but rather Jesus desires for you and me to be in this relationship, this journey. And think about all the qualities that we just spoke about. This is what Jesus desires in a relationship with us. Honesty, trust, dependence on both ends of it. On Jesus's part, on our part as well. Now, if we go to the next slide, the offer of Jesus is an invitation into a shared life with him. Again, we see this modeled all throughout the Gospels. We see it modeled right here. He is presenting, he's giving the sermon, he's talking about friendship in the context of a meal. This is an intimate moment. Sharing a meal, you're sharing a meal with someone because you want to get to know them more. You're sharing a meal because you want to explore the relationship with this person. You want to hear about their life. They want to hear about your life. You're having a conversation. What we see all throughout the Gospels is Jesus inviting others into life with him. We see it through meals, through conversations. Think about going on a walk from one village to the next. Like, when I go on a walk with someone, it's a great, you're going on a walk, you're getting exercise, but the conversations that happen when it's just the two of you, or if there's three or four people, the conversations that erupt, like, you're getting to know the other person. This is how Jesus walked the earth, inviting others into a shared journey with him. Now, what Jesus tells the disciples is that this type of relationship is something that he is already experiencing. We can go here to the next slide. This is John 15 again. As the Father has loved me, so Jesus is experiencing the love of God. So as I've been experiencing the love of God, well, I have loved you. Jesus is experiencing this relationship of love. And now he's inviting others into this relationship of love. The invitation, maybe another way to say this, is the invitation is into a community of love. Now, in order to illustrate this, I drew three pictures for us. I'm no Van Gogh, but I think I have a future in art. You can tell me afterwards. First picture. Thank you. That's my circle. Think of this as the relationship between Jesus and his Father. It's a circle of love. There's a flow to it. The love is flowing all around. It's this continual flow. Think about Jesus. As I've experienced the Father's love, Jesus connected to the Father in love. And then he says, so have I loved you. So we can go to the next picture. So out of this circle of love, now love begins to flow out from this circle. So the love isn't being contained between Jesus and the Father. The love is spilling out to everyone else. Now, the love doesn't simply just stay out there somewhere in the world. It isn't just thrown into the world and it stays out there on people. Rather, the invitation is back into the circle of love. So there's this relationship of love that Jesus is experiencing. Because of this love, it's just simply flowing out of his being to everyone else, to the disciples, to us. And now we are being invited back into this relationship of love. So the entire thing for Jesus is based on love. Now we can go one more slide. Maybe you noticed this. Jesus said, if you keep my commands, then you are my friend. So there's a disclaimer. There's a disclaimer here. If you keep my commands. Now, what are these commands of Jesus? So in order to remain in this love, well, it sounds like there's something that we have to do in order to remain in this love. What is it? Go to the next slide. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Simple command. Difficult to do, is it not? How do we remain in God's love? By extending love ourselves. Again, this relationship between Jesus and the Father, between us and Jesus, it is all being sustained in love. Love is what makes the whole thing work. Sometimes it can get really confusing, which is like, follow my commands. And we make them really complex sometimes. We get all theological with them. But Jesus just breaks it down into his simplest form. My command is this, love. Every single command flows out of love. So whenever we're thinking, okay, is this what God desires for me? We can ask ourselves the question, is this rooted in love? If it's rooted in love, it's of God. If it's not rooted in love, chances are it doesn't have its foundation in God. Now, there's five observations that I want to make. First, the invitation of Jesus is to be the invitation of the church. Invitation into a shared life together. We've talked about this before, what the church is. Think of the church this way. Maybe this is how we could define church. Church, it's a shared journey of learning the way of love. How does that sound for what we do on a Sunday morning? Again, we make it really complex sometimes. What if we just broke it down to its simplest form and saying we're gathering here together because we believe that we're in a shared journey together. And together, we want to learn what it means to love God, to love others, to love ourselves. And we start here, looking at this sort of as a safe zone, as a place where we can experiment, where together we can explore what it means for us to show love and live into the command of Jesus, to love one another. Notice, for us here at Awaken, two parts of our vision. The first part. Well, our mission is creating followers of Jesus. How do we do it? Number one, welcoming others into God's love. It's all about love. We believe God is love. We believe God's love extends to everyone. And so we want to welcome every single person who steps foot through those doors into the love of God that is already at work, already flowing in the world. And then the second part, how do we do it? Creating communities of belonging. When we gather together, why are social events, service events important? Because we want everyone to know you belong here. These are your people. This is your community. Don't we all want a place where we can belong? All the characteristics, the qualities of friendship that we talked about, the things that you all said initially, isn't that what we're all looking for? Isn't that what we all desire in life? to have people that we trust, that we can talk with, who will be present with us through whatever it is we happen to be going through. See, what we're doing here, what does it mean to be a Christian? It means that we're putting flesh on the Spirit of Jesus. We're embodying Jesus for others. Joe talked about the ascension last week. Jesus is not physically present with us. The Spirit is here. The Spirit is at work. And we are to put flesh on the Spirit. The love that is flowing, we are to embody it through how we live our lives. Yes, it starts here in church as we learn what this means together. Second observation. Love produces joy. And I love this one. I've told you this. Why is Jesus telling the disciples this? Why is the movement from servants to friends all because of joy? I am telling you all of this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may then be complete. For Jesus, it's always been about joy, never about duty, never about obligation, never about, ugh, these disciples, oh my goodness, these guys, clearly not getting it. No, it's always been about joy because love produces joy. Think about the moments when you have experienced love. You probably feel light. You probably feel joy just beginning to bubble up and flow beyond you. The moments when things become twisted a little bit and the love that you've experienced before, when it's not there, you probably feel a little bit heavier. Love produces joy. For Jesus, it's always been about joy. Here's a third observation. I love this one. Whenever you read through the Gospels, you'll find Jesus was often insulted for his friendship because he was considered to be too inclusive. He was friends with too many people. Here's Luke 7, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, here's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Some of the religious leaders would constantly be critiquing Jesus because they thought his friendship was too inclusive. The offer of Jesus, his invitation into friendship, into a shared life, it's for everyone. Jesus made that abundantly clear through how he lived his life. Not everyone liked it, but Jesus was as inclusive as you can get. Fourth observation. Sometimes, I've noticed this about myself, maybe you've noticed this as well, sometimes we don't live up to Jesus' command to love. You ever experienced this? You ever noticed this before? Now, I think I shortened it to four observations, so this is our last observation. Sometimes, whenever we don't live into this command, I know for me, there can be a sense of guilt, a sense of shame. And maybe you start asking the question, keep going one more. What happens if we fall out of this love? What happens if I neglect to love my neighbor? Does that then mean that I no longer remain in Jesus' love? You ever ask yourself the question here? You start beating yourself up a bit like, oh, following these commands, loving, I'm just having a difficult time with it. I'm not able to follow through with it. Does this mean then that I'm not remaining in Jesus' love? Let's go one more slide. Luke chapter 5. And here again, Jesus is being criticized for his view on friendship. Pharisees, teachers of the law who belong to their sect, complain to his disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Sometimes in life, we are unable to fully live into this command to love for various reasons. We lose the plot. Things get a bit messy for us in life. We get off the trail a little bit. And so sometimes we don't live into our truest selves, the people that we've been created to be, the people of love that we truly desire to be. But remember the second picture. We can go one more. There it is. What Jesus is saying right here, he's saying it's not the healthy, it's not those who are already in love, but rather it's the sick, the ones who have lost the plot, the ones who have kind of gotten lost, who have fallen off the trail. And so this love of God, it's always, always following us, inviting us back, inviting us to return to the place where we truly desire to be. There's nowhere that we can run from this love of God. There's nowhere where we could run where God's love isn't chasing us, because that love is pursuing us no matter where we happen to be. In the moments when we feel the least like ourselves, in the moments when we feel like we've fallen short of this command to love, it's the moments when maybe God is the most present with us. God is right there in those moments pursuing us just as much as God would be pursuing us in the moments when we are loving others and living into this command to love. Now, I put here, it's a very descriptive slide, story. Quite descriptive. And I was debating between two stories to tell to close the sermon. And I said, I'll just make a game time decision. I'll decide right at the end here. And here's what I've experienced in life when it comes down to love and about embodying this love. I've been on both sides of this pursuit of love. There's times when I've fallen off the path, when I haven't felt like myself, and I feel like, oh man, I've blown it. I've lost it. Or moments when I've closed my heart off to the goodness, to the love of God that is present. And I have had friends, people who care about me, people who love me, who just keep pursuing me. You ever have a friend like that? You don't want to talk to them because you're in a place. And they just, every now and again, they call you to check up on you. And you're not ready to get back to them yet, but you know they're always there for you. And they keep calling. And you know that when you're ready, you'll reach out to them, you'll have a conversation, and it's going to be great. You're going to feel the love because you felt their love carrying you all along through whatever hard place you've been walking through. And then I've been on the other side of this before, where there's been friends, and they've been going through difficult times. And I'll reach out to them, and they don't get back to me. And then I'll reach out again, and they don't get back to me. You ever experienced this before? But you don't give up on them because they're your friend. You guys have been through stuff together, and you keep pursuing them. And then one day, 6 months later, you get a phone call. And you'll pick up the phone, and they'll say, thank you. What did I do? We haven't spoken in like a year. Well, thank you for continuing to love me. Thanks for continuing to reach out and text me and tell me, I'm thinking of you. I'm praying for you. It's what it looks like to embody the love of Jesus. This is the type of relationship that Jesus desires with all of us. A relationship of friendship. Of love that continues to pursue us and tells us, you're not alone. You're not alone. And when we don't hold up our side, Jesus is like, I got it. It's all right. It's all right. It's all for joy anyway. It was never about your performance. It was never about how much you lived into these commands. It's always been about my love and my joy that makes your love and your joy complete. It's always been about grace. And grace is always about love. A love that will continue to pursue you to all ends of the earth. So Jesus says, friend, what Jesus tells his disciples is the same offer he offers to us, is you're never alone. And my love will always be with you. Let me pray for us.